Hi, friends. Welcome to Thank Jesus Cafe. This is your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Last time, we took a look at Psalm 19, and today, let's continue thinking about this wonderful psalm. I'll read verses 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings from the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Last time we thought about Scripture, the Bible, as God's special revelation to human beings. We thought about those two phrases in particular from verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." And verse 8 says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." And I was stressing the importance of those words, reviving the soul and rejoicing the heart. Verse 8 also goes on to say that the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. This, too, is such a powerful statement. The word pure means without blemish, without stain, and the word enlightened means to see more clearly, to have a fresh look at something, to see something with greater precision, and to provide greater understanding. So, not only will the written word of God revive, refresh the human soul, it will also open our eyes to the truth of God so that we understand the will and purposes of God better, and so that we will understand ourselves and the human condition better. Verse 9 goes on to remind us that it is good to fear the Lord. Here, as with so many other places in Scripture, the word fear means to give honor, to reverence, to bow down, to give God his rightful place in our hearts and daily lives. And we learn that the fear of the Lord is a very healthy thing for the well-being of our own lives. So, clearly, Psalm 19 has a high view of the worth, the value of the written word of God. The teaching of Psalm 19 and the special revelation of God quite naturally leads into a couple of additional considerations. First, if we assume that Psalm 19 was written by David somewhere around 1000 BC, that's 1000 years before Christ physically came upon the scene, then what does this psalm say about the scriptures written after the time it was penned? Say, for example, the major and minor prophets of the Old Testament and the writings of the New Testament. Would we also say that all the rest of the words of the Old and New Testament were perfect for reviving the soul, or for rejoicing the heart, or for enlightening the eyes? Well, here are some observations to consider. First, the Psalms are cited frequently in the New Testament. Jesus quotes portions of the Psalms in many places in the Gospels. Jesus makes reference to Psalm 8, Psalm 22, Psalm 35, Psalm 41, Psalm 69, 78, 82, Psalm 110, Psalm 118. Jesus also made reference to the writings of Deuteronomy, Isaiah, Exodus, and Genesis. So clearly, Jesus had a very high view of the Hebrew Scriptures, what we today often call the Old Testament. So the question is, why would a very well-respected rabbi make such frequent use of the Psalms and the Old Testament in general if he did not believe they were Holy Scripture? Why would Jesus embed the Psalms in his powerful teachings on the things of God if he did not believe they embodied the truth of God? Actually, the practice Jesus had of referencing Scripture in his teachings points to the reality that Jesus, in fact, did believe the Old Testament writings are the very Word of God. Now, in 2 Peter 1:21, we read this, "For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." This verse speaks to the divine inspiration of Scripture. And of course, the prophecies Peter is directly referring to are those found in the Old Testament. But at the same time, in the same book of 2 Peter, in chapter 3, verse 16, the Apostle Peter speaks of the writings of the Apostle Paul, and Peter has an exceptionally high regard for the writings of Paul. 2 Peter 3:16 says this, "There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures." This is a profound scripture passage. 2 Peter 3:16. Peter uses that phrase, "as they do the other scriptures." Did you catch that? Peter is equating the writings of Paul with the other writings that Peter himself understood as being scripture. Peter clearly understood the Old Testament writings as scripture, the very Word of God. And here, Peter equates Paul's writings with the very Word of God. In John 14:6, Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he says this, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things I said to you." In this passage, Jesus promised his closest disciples, the apostles, that after his departure, the Holy Spirit would come and continue teaching them, and that the Holy Spirit would bring to their remembrance, quote, "all things I said to you." Again, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would bring to their remembrance all things that Jesus had taught them. This passage leads us to believe and have confidence in our conviction that God has so inspired the apostles of Jesus Christ that their writings are the very words of God. They are on par with the rest of Scripture. So, what's the point? Well, this very brief overview of a few Bible verses helps to remind us that we can have great confidence in the proposition that every word in the 66 books of the Bible, every word, is inspired by God and can rightly be called Scripture, or if you prefer, the commandments of God, the precepts of God, the law of God, the language of Psalm 19. Psalm 19 plainly and directly states that Scripture is God's tool for reviving the soul, making wise the simple, and for rejoicing the heart. What we discover then, as we closely look at the rest of Scripture, is that all of it, every word, every phrase, every chapter, is God's tool for reviving the soul, making wise the simple, and for rejoicing the heart. And what an encouragement for us today. The Bible is God's special revelation. It reveals things about God, His character, salvation, our purpose for living, commands to obey, sins to avoid, what the future holds, and so on. It uniquely reveals the things of God, special things that we would not otherwise know. So, our reading, studying, and meditating on Scripture is not a waste of time. Far from it. Actually, we can say that it is a very productive use of our time, since it will revive our soul, enlighten our minds to help us better understand spiritual things as well as the physical world around us. With the Bible, the written Word of God, the special revelation of God, we have such a powerful tool right in our own hands, a tool God uses to lift us up, to encourage us, to enlarge our own hearts. Too often we are tempted to think that the Bible, our relationship with God, and our faith are insufficient for relieving us of the burdens we carry. So, we're tempted to compartmentalize the things of faith and look elsewhere for something or someone who will provide some relief to the pain and uncertainties we all carry from time to time. Psalm 19 reminds us of the sufficiency of God's Word. It is sufficient to refresh our own souls. So let's all give that written Word of God an opportunity to work in our lives, an opportunity to refresh our souls today. Father in heaven, thank you for being willing to lift us up, refresh our souls, enlighten our eyes, and make us wise about the things that matter to you. God, I pray for those listening today that you would draw each person even closer to you in their personal connection with you. God, I pray that you give each person listening a mighty day of encouragement and peace. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Thank you for being with us in Think Jesus Cafe. This has been your Daily 10, and this is your host, Mark Day. Spread the word and tell your friends about the podcast, and join us next time as we think about Jesus, a biblical worldview, and real life.